Dumelang, Dumelang. My name is Lelo. Welcome to the Office Podcast. Hello, hello, guys.
Hi, hello, guys. Lelo. Oh, you've got chutzpah today.
Right.
What is chutzpah?
She's got that oomph.
The oomph. The way you started the show.
Don't I always have oomph?
No, you always have, but today it's like...
Now you've just kicked it away, like. Said, oh. You guys, are you okay? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. We're good. It was our birthday.
Oh yeah.
Last three.
Happy belated. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank for everyone who doesn't know, again, I have got birthdays like on day after the other. So
yeah. He was Monday, I was Tuesday.
How were the
Monday
celebrations?
Oh my gosh. I actually had such... I was so spoiled this year.
Mm.
I got like... Even the office was like, oh, you can't be getting so many deliveries. There were just flowers and chocolates. And then I had a lunch. Someone took me out for lunch on my birthday. Mm-hmm. And then I get home and this is like the surprise birthday.
Wow,
that is
awesome.
Oh, that is cool.
And then my friends and I got drunk, crazy stupid drunk on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
But it's been great. And the e-wallet.
Yes. E-wallet.
Mm, yes, you are
from your friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, and
people.
Then she had to explain why she bought alcohol. But
wow. See, I want to know the kind of people you with.
If you want to know what happens again, like follow her Twitter.
People even send you the e-wallet. Okay?
Mm, no, shame. Sometimes people send me e-wallet. Another friend sent me a cash send. Yeah, no, it was good.
Good.
No, guys, I enjoyed this, but the last year was horrible.
But that's always nice. I also enjoyed my birthday this year because last year was a mess.
Yeah.
No. Last year was not a mess. It was the year before.
That was a mess.
The year before was a mess because I was writing an exam the day after.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. Enlighten, what did you do for yours?
Well, like, I try to keep it low-key because I personally don't like being around people on my birthday, so I like being I don't like being around people, but my friends did sneaky things. They'd be like, oh, do you want to go out for, like, lunch? And then it turns out to be... a big lunch, with other people and stuff. But I'm very proud that with my non-drinking self, I actually didn't. The most I had was 3 glasses of champagne.
That's drinking, boo.
No, but that's drinking. But then
what's the volume of champagne?
The me before the non-drinking me.
So what? So now your body's not tolerating.
No, I just didn't feel like it anymore. Like I was just
gross. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed your birthday.
Oh, no, I'm already planning my next one.
I hope it's in Africa somewhere.
Yeah, someone's given me some options for Africa, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Let's explore our continent.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, it's time for KYC.
Yes.
All right, guys. So, let's see. This country is very large.
Okay.
Relative.
It's one of the wealthiest countries in Africa. Ne?
Okay.
And, in terms of minerals.
GDP. Yes.
Okay.
They actually produce... it's one of the highest oil producing countries.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, second largest oil and diamond producer.
Okay.
And then the people, they've got like 29 million people, Christian, mostly Christian.
Mm-hmm.
42% of them are under 15. I think about 70.
Under 15,
yes.
Really?
I think about 70% of them are all under like 25.
Wow.
The life expectancy. Don't Google. Why are you?
No, I'm not Googling. I'm just turning
Why
off my
thing.
Yeah,
we are cheating.
Guys, I was taking.
Okay, their flag does not have green. And then,
it wouldn't be
the key elements of that
diamonds,
oil and diamonds.
Okay, so they had like 27 years. Okay, after 27 years of civil war.
Uh huh.
There's a shortage of men in that country. You guys don't know.
Is it?
It wouldn't be Sierra.
No, it's South Central Africa.
South Central Africa.
It's the sixth most expensive city in the world.
It's got the sixth most.
Okay, not the city, but it has in this country there's a city which is like the sixth most expensive city in the world.
What?
And it's in Africa that time.
Ooh, wait.
Okay, I'm going to give you another clue.
Yes, please.
The current president was appointed in 2017. He was the first new president in 38 years.
Okay.
You're getting close, are you?
I'm getting close, but...
Okay.
Don't tell it.
All right.
South Central Africa. Mm-hmm.
And then diamonds and oil.
Diamonds and oil.
And
new
no
president.
Green. No green in the flag.
We need to have a map of Africa.
No, no, that would be cheating. Okay, last clue. Okay, if you don't get this now, okay. Right, guys, I give up. They speak, the official language is Portuguese. And it's not Mozambique, because we've already done Mozambique.
Angola.
It is Angola.
Ah!
Congratulations.
Ah! I was, you know, I was thinking up there. I was,
can I just
Angola
Google their flag?
Not yeah.
Oh, flip. I actually need flag. To double check if their flag really doesn't have.
I think,
really
have I think the flag does have
no,
green.
It doesn't have green.
It doesn't.
It's black and red.
Is it black and red?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Thank goodness.
Oh, okay. Yes, black, red, and yellow. Okay, yeah. You're right.
Okay, cool. That's it for
cool.
Know
well,
your continent.
I got the point.
And yeah. Then I just discovered a new country.
Cool.
Yes.
Pandora.
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 Okay.
Where is it?
It is. I'll tell you now.
It's not in Africa.
It's not in Africa, no.
I'll say, oh, yeah, no, you guys are right. It's not.
Principality of the Velis is a sovereign land. Where is
you?
This place?
You.
Qatar.
Hey, guys.
Like it's. Sounds, it's in Europe.
It's
somewhere.
European, yeah. Yeah. It's European.
Okay, cool, guys. It's time for office politics. Office
yo,
politics. What are we talking today?
Mm-hmm. I know today's one is relevant.
Yeah, sure.
I feel it in uh-huh. my spirit.
You feel it in your spirit.
Hallelujah.
Yo.
Yes.
So, guys, it's already July. We're in July. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing called mid-year fatigue that mm-hmm. people tend to go through mm. or, you know, things are just not going well at work, whatever. And you start to feel, you know, not as energetic as you were okay. feeling, mm. you know, and it gets worse by December.
Yeah.
But some people just feel this throughout, mm-hmm. you know, throughout their careers or whatever job they're doing, and it's burnout. So mm. there are people who are going away. Are you guys going away anytime soon?
I'm going away.
Yeah. I'm
going away soon. Going away soon. So you probably have burnout and you just need a holiday.
Exactly.
I think I'm also one of those people. Like, I haven't had proper leave.
Yeah.
I'm suffering from, well, I think I am suffering from burnout.
Guys, actually the last 10 days leave I took was last year when I traveled for my birthday. And that was like in May, June
2019. Yeah, no, that's long. That's
over a year. Yes. So literally I am burnt out.
So she's take note of the 10 days. Take 10 days.
I will say, Lelo's burnt out and everyone else's burnt out are very different.
Yes. Actually. Thank you
just
for setting that record straight. So, but one of the articles that inspired today's topic, which is burnout, mm-hmm. right, is that according to Business Tech, burnout was initially classified. So the World Health Organization had initially classified burnout as a medical diagnosis, mm-hmm. and then they had placed it on a section of problems related to employment or unemployment. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, obviously there was, you know, discussions around it, and then professionals were just like, this doesn't make sense. How would you do that? So then they came back and they reclassified it, and they later updated it and said rather it is an occupational phenomenon and not a disease. So they had initially, you know, called it a disease, but then there was obviously a mayhem around, like, why would you call burnout?
The corporate,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, no, you're giving people ideas.
You know what I'm saying? But also
how do you then, because everybody's going to be like, burnout.
Burnout, exactly yeah. my what point, you know? So they're just like, no, it's an occupational phenomenon and it's not a disease. So they've now defined burnout as a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And other places, you know, say, what is burnout? They feel like every day at work is a bad day. You feel exhausted much of the time.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that feel like that.
But you know what? I feel like you can tell the difference on whether or not
yeah.
you're just having a bad day or you just don't want to wake up any day.
You don't want to be there.
You know, there's no joy and interest in your work. Like, you know what? You're just like, let me just get my paycheck and walk out of here. You're overwhelmed by your responsibilities mm-hmm. or you engage in escapist behavior. Some people will take like 2-hour lunches.
Yes.
Mm. Other people will start drinking because it's just like near fork. I've actually seen someone who just started drinking every day because it was that
bad. Every day after work, hopefully.
Every day after work, okay. Yeah. After work, not before.
Because.
Or you have less patience with people or your colleagues mm-hmm. or your subordinates. You're just hopeless in general. So they ask kids like that. So we all have a bad day, but there's people who have like...
This is now like constant.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's because... And I'm looking at the work environment or the work... What is it? The environment at the moment is that there's so many job losses and restructures in companies that people can't even move or find the job that they actually desire. So they're stuck in jobs that they really don't actually want to be in or don't like. Yeah. Right? But how do you know that you're suffering from that? As well, sometimes exhaustion, but for the, so let me maybe backtrack. How do you then, you know, recover from burnout? And I think one of the things is you need to first identify what type of burnout you're actually experiencing. So I don't know if you guys have ever experienced
burnout.
There
are different types.
Yeah. So there's exhaustion.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There's just exhaustion where you just literally have to take leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the, I just really hate my job. I really don't want to be here. Okay. And then you need to look for a new job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then again...
But even that is a whole job on job its own. On,
yeah. So that also finding adds job. To the...
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
So, I don't know, guys. Have you ever experienced that? And what was it like?
I have. Like, for me, it was a couple of years ago. And I feel like, for me, it was... It was more around I was doing too many things and I was not that I wasn't asking for help, I just feel like I wasn't being supported. But because I'm a whole, I think we spoke about it the other time, that I'm a whole, like, if nobody's going to do it right, I'm just going to do it. Because then I don't, like, I don't believe, which I need to start believing, or I'm starting to believe, in giving a lot of people, like, a lot of, you know, a lot of chances and responsibilities. Delegation. If they're not producing, I'm always like, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself. So I experienced that. And for me, I think the crux was when I was in an Uber going home and I collapsed.
I remember that story.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, for me, I was just like, you know what, it's really not worth it. You just need to take care of yourself. And I went to the hospital, and the next week, I just told them that I'm not going to come to work. And then that was that, and I just recuperated when I came back.
And life carried on.
Yeah, and life
the company did not collapse because you were not there.
Exactly, and that's the thing. They did not collapse. They hired a freelancer who came in and, like, took over, actually, for even, like, 3 weeks, and I was only out for 2 weeks. So when I came back, I was like, okay, this is the perfect chance for me to actually reset boundaries and say, you know what? What I'm prepared to do is this and this. If it's not done between 9 and 5, guys, it's going to be done tomorrow. Yeah.
But I think I think we've also mentioned in one of the other podcast episodes that you need to, at some point in your career, so obviously when you're still junior, you'll most probably take on as much as you can. So, like, we've had interns. So we run an internship program, a 4-week internship program. And this one intern that I realized was, like, just, she's bright. She's brilliant. And everyone obviously loves working with her because she's so brilliant. But then I noticed that she couldn't say no because she's an intern.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't want to be seen as someone who's, like, wasn't it. But then I could, you know, then I realized, I'm briefing her. This one's briefing her. This one's briefing her. So I had to then go to her line manager and say, hi, ABC. So I don't know if you noticed, but Miguel is getting a lot of briefs, and I think she might be scared to, you know, to push back. So I'd like, can you please manage the process and not, you know what I'm saying, especially for an intern.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the higher you go, you're going to have to set boundaries at some point. Because I think I went through something similar around 2017 where we, like, our colleagues and I started a whole new division. We had proposed a whole new division for the business. And it was horrible. I couldn't, and I started gaining weight.
Yeah.
I became huge.
Yeah.
I wasn't sleeping enough. I wasn't feeling well, and my CEO sat me down and she's like, look, you need to slow down, you know, and I don't think we believe that we need to slow down. But sometimes you don't have a choice. You just feel like, I need to prove myself.
I would love to be told to slow down.
But maybe when it's just a work ethic thing, do you really want to slow down?
But also, Lila, it's like one of those things that I think we always equate working hard to working efficiently. And I feel like sometimes the people that are, like, I know Germans are really good with it. When they're at work, they're at work. And they get things done. When they're not at work, they're not at work. And that's, you know, and they're very efficient within the times that they do. But I think for us, sometimes, I feel like it's a mixture. The people that are efficient and work too hard, and then there are people that work hard, but it's not really, like, efficient. It's like, you know, what
that's
you did
it.
In, like, 4 hours.
That's actually it.
You could have done in 2 hours.
That's actually it. And I think that's another reason why I figured, you know what, I need to go almost like on a bit of a social media diet, like where I, like, spend less time. Because we don't realize, and the smoke breaks as well, the people that take smoke breaks all the time, like, you're always out of the office. Like, that, you don't count the minute it takes to actually go downstairs or wherever you go to smoking area and then come back up. And then the time you spend at the smoking area,
gossiping.
And then, so how much time, you know what I'm saying? Because obviously we all allocated, what, 15 minutes? But I mean,
but I don't
no
think
one
it's
says
about
like,
the time.
I really do think it's about how, because a lot of times even, so sometimes you even, you wonder, do people actually have jobs because they just spend the whole day on social media? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how I had to do introspection on that. I was like,
I used to do that when I was in a job I hated. Yeah. I would be on social media the whole day.
So there you go. It's one of those things where you just do something.
I don't want
to
be here firstly.
Yeah. Like,
so it happens.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. It's also about whether or not you use it. Because I've got a colleague as well who's able to use. She works hard, but she's got her head down. But after five,
she's gone.
She's gone.
I also think I don't overwork myself. I know how to do things and be. Is it effective or efficient?
Efficient, whatever it is.
Without feeling like, oh my God, I'm pushing myself every day. No. But I think I have mentioned previously that me and I believe in balance.
We know this.
So
I think it comes later on in life, guys. Like, you have to experience certain things to actually get to that point, sadly. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, the other people listen to the podcast and then can actually pick it up early in their career.
Yeah.
But yes, also, because you don't have to now suffer.
Yes,
I definitely do encourage that you should take on more, especially if you feel like you can still do more. You're not being fully utilized, da, da, da. Take on more, but don't push to the point of that goal where you can't even say no now.
But also, balance can be the the work home balance, or work travel with Lelo balance.
So home is travel for her.
Exactly. And then the other balance could be balancing your daily work and saying, and being open enough and honest to say, you know what, this project will take me 2 weeks to work on and not work on a week, knowing very well that it's going to put so much pressure on you and you end up very exhausted.
So it's funny because I asked the question on Twitter, do you feel that your job is causing you burnout? And a lot of the people that responded are the people that are always on social media the whole
and they said yes. They don't like that job.
Definitely. But definitely. So I'm assuming so I was like, hey, one is it? Because you can't be sitting on Twitter for 8 hours a day and still be burnt out from the actual work. So the assumption here is that you really don't like your job. And I think it goes to that exactly, that people are now at a point where they're just happy they have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to even try and look, because then you might look and you say, yo, let me go to that company. 2 months down the line, they're restructuring, and then it's a classic case of last one in, first one out. You know what I'm saying? So there's that, but it is what it is, I guess. And I'm hoping that you know despite all the commissions that are taking place and all the drama that's coming out, that our economy will recover well enough to actually create jobs that we actually want to do. But also, when we talk about the fourth industrial revolution, how about people maybe also, and we'll talk about it as well when we look at how to actually combat the issues of burnout, is looking at new careers that are actually coming up. So maybe why not try out a new skill or learn something else.
And it's just did we talk about you're turning your passions into...
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Remember.
Or maybe it was one of the episodes that I've never flighted.
No, I think it was one of those. Yes, Flighting is right. I think it's one of those that we never published.
Did we not
published.
Turning our... No ways, guys. Turning your passion into...
Maybe we should give people a lot of anchor of the office before it became the office.
Don't let your leave days go to waste. We actually... Oh, turn your hobby into a professional.
Yes.
We did discuss about how it's overrated advice.
How many episodes are there?
We have done 10 episodes, I think.
Wow. That's not bad. Well done, guys.
Yeah. A good season.
From randoms to podcasters.
From randoms to podcasters.
Okay, so how do we recover from...
So we've established that there's different types of... burnout, right? So either you're tired. I think I'm just a tired one. Lilo's just a tired one. Life and you're just a tired one.
Yeah.
And then there's those people who really just need to get out of their jobs. So you remember when we even had that recruitment discussion?
Yes.
Make sure you're damn good then if you really want to change your job that badly that you get, you know, pushed by someone else.
Exactly.
But okay, until you can get to that point and until you can take leave, here's what you can do then to combat or recover from burnout, right? So one, we've established... If you're tired, you just need a break, take leave. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for me, I can't just take leave. It's according to my client's calendar.
Oh.
So that's why I can go 10 months without taking leave, a whole year without taking leave. Yeah. So it happens. But also reassess your goals, right? So when there's no alignment with your work and your values, then you kind of you feel misaligned in your job, and then that's when you honestly have problems. Mm-hmm. So positive psychologist Martin Seligman says that all of us require 5 essential elements in our lives in order to experience well-being. So he says the elements are positive emotions, engagement, positive relationships, meaning, and achievement. I don't know. I feel like that's such like a airy-fairy stuff.
It is.
You know?
It's not very specific. No. It doesn't really help.
So it's very...
Yes, I want positive engagement, but where do I get it?
Where do I get
all
it?
The energy around me is negative. How do I...
Exactly. But also, positive energy is not something that you'll constantly get. Mm. The reality... I think we have this perception that it's going to be good all the time. Yeah. It's not going to be good. Sometimes... And just because it's bad today or bad this week, it doesn't mean that your whole job is falling apart. So if you're also feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm having a bad week. Oh my gosh, I need to quit. No. Yeah. Calm down.
Exactly.
Reassess your values. Mm-hmm. Is it still in line with what you want to do, with what your job? You're still fine. Yes. Calm down. Woosa, get your paycheck.
Girl. Because the bills are due.
But also when you get to that point where you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm just in here, if I need to pay my bills, get out. And then learn to say no politely as well, guys. So try not to take on new responsibilities or commitments while you're recovering from burnout. So exactly where Lighton was constantly taking on more than he should have.
Yeah.
Try not to do that. I know that it's hard, though.
I think people they don't know how to say no, especially if it's your boss saying 1, 2, 3, but you have to try and be honest.
Yeah. My colleague went through the same thing last week. He's like, so my colleague and I went to work last week, Saturday. Because we both needed to catch up on some work. And on Saturday, he's like, yo, I took on something.
The same Saturday where you got drunk?
No. The week before. Sorry. That's the week before.
Like, at least you went to work before you went to get drunk.
The week before. And he's like, okay, you know, I took on something and I said I'd have the capacity, but I didn't. So that's why I'm here and I'm trying to push. And I was like, Lelo, you should have just... He's like, I know I should have said it. But you know when, you know, the big boss is like, you know, coming up and she's like, yo. So it's hard. And also, how do you tell your colleagues
it's
I'm suffering from burnout?
To just manage those expectations. That's when you will deliver.
But then also, how do you tell your colleagues or your bosses, oh, no, I'm actually suffering from burnout, fam. Mm.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But this is where, like, helpful HR pitches in.
So that the sad part is that a lot of people, there's a tweet that went around about HR not being your friend, whatever, but some people saying there isn't even HR. So that's a topic for another day.
There isn't even HR in some companies.
Yeah.
No. There's one
some
person.
Some of them, they outsource it and all of that, and they just expect them to do payroll and all that.
And number
why
four.
Are you sipping the tea? Think we haven't even got it there. Tell us why.
My throat. My throat offline. So, but also think about the why. So, this is very cheesy, but in one of the if you watch a TED talk by Simon Sinek, he speaks about understanding why. And I love him
and
so much. And I've actually used that TED talk in everything that I do. Like, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
And even with my colleagues or with my consultants or anyone, I always try and explain to them why the task is so important, because I feel like if they understand the value of the task and why they're doing it, they won't feel that it's a minuscule task or they will. So just explain to them what's important about the whole value chain and your little bit in the great.
Those are the conversations that need to be happening when we do contracting, like when you do your performance contract.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the piece that's missing is like that explanation in terms of this is where you, this little part that you have to do, this is where
it
fits
in
the overall strategy of the company or of the business. So people then whatever their tasks are, because they understand where does it fit in, how does it affect the next department, it encourages collaboration. If I don't do 1, 2, 3, they can't do 1, 2, 3 because they rely on me.
Exactly.
You know, just understanding the whole chain of events and what each part means, then it makes a huge difference.
So I think it would save a lot of people a lot of trouble. Yeah.
And it also, like, I feel like it also, like, especially in my case, I feel like it also shows that every part is important, because I feel like some people think that because they're juniors or whatever, then whatever they do is not that important. But it's usually mostly the most important parts, you know.
Yeah, because if that junior person doesn't do this one thing, you would have you could even that simple thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I go through a lot of that way. I'm a senior consultant where I am, and I obviously have people that are.
Yes, girl.
Yes.
I'm a senior consultant.
Darling.
Yes. I'm a teller my e-wallet.
Honey.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's why I have to get an e-wallet. But anyway, guys. But it's exactly that, in that you try and... I think people forget their value. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this one is also so important. Because even when you are feeling that burnout, remind yourself, why am I here? Why did I start here to begin with? And then a lot of the times we can actually just, you're just going through a bit of a dip.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's normal. Sometimes there's also personal issues that, like, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just constantly ask yourself, actually, why am I here? Why did I apply for this job? You know? And then there are instances where you actually remind yourself, like, oh, it's really not that bad. Yeah. I can still make it work, you know? I've had instances where I felt like, do I really want to be here? But then I remind myself, like, you know what, guys? It could have been worse.
Exactly.
So just remind yourself why you're doing it. And I think when you do, and if at any point at the after the conversation that you've had with yourself and you're just like, nah, bruh, it's still not working out, then yes, take the next step. Take that leave or take whatever, you know what I'm saying? But for me, that TED Talk still reigns supreme. And I think if anyone wants to check it out, and if you haven't heard it, I mean, guys, who hasn't heard of Simon Sinek TED Talk? But do check him out. It's Simon's surname spelled S-I-N-E-K. And if you are suffering from burnout, let us know what are the symptoms that you actually notice about yourself. So hashtag us. Hashtag the office podcast and let us know.
And what's your plan to get out of it?
Yeah, what's your plan?
And what's your
especially
plan?
In these tough economic times.
Exactly. But just sidebar a little, but somebody said in the office when I was complaining about the fact that I'm like so tired and I'm getting to a point that I'm really uninspired and blah, blah. And then she said, you know what? Invest in a good relationship. When I leave this house, I go to my man loves me. I'm like, you know what? Loves actually no good.
Somebody said that to
you.
Oh wow. They said invest in a good relationship.
Keyword being good.
Exactly.
Where do you find those?
No, you create those. Exactly. You create those.
Oh. I need to find one, but I think I might have. Anyway.
Okay. I feel like we need to get to the tea like real quick. But I think then leading on to the next topic that I wanted to just touch on, you know the part where I said you might need to, I think I digressed a little bit earlier on to say maybe the issue is that you might need to actually find, repurpose yourself.
Yes.
In the organization. So 2 years ago, funny enough, I repurposed myself in such a way that I was like, okay, cool. Do I really want to be a one-dimensional consultant? Or do I want to have skills that
it's gonna be dynamic
exactly and then I became and then I gave myself a job a title that everyone else then started calling me by, which is a hybrid consultant, which is funny because 2 years later the whole company is now hybrid. Repurposing I think was also very important, especially now with fourth industrial revolution, because now the topic is now fourth industrial revolution 4IR.
Like,
what's up in Skype?
So the question then becomes, are you repurposing yourself in the era of the fourth industrial revolution? Because, okay, we won't delve too much into it, because I think, I really think this topic needs, like, it has so much meat, this topic, Yazzie, and I think we could, like, really go far with it. But, guys, what are your thoughts? I mean, the last few days, there was a conference that took place last week. I think, Lilo, you attended that conference as well.
The Davos of Human
Capital.
It
would be nice for you to give us a breakdown of actually what was discussed there.
Not what was discussed there.
No, but I mean, what was your highlights? What was some of the stuff that was...
I think what I liked about that conference, it was like they had like people from HR. It was mostly HR people from different companies. And then they also had... They were really just talking about, you know, the future of jobs and all of that. And then they had Sophia the robot there.
Oh, I saw that.
And then they also addressed the fact that, you know, this people are so fearful of this fourth industrial revolution and that robots and automation and all of that is going to take away their jobs. And I think the key takeaway, even from the guy who created the robot, this Dr. Hansen, he was saying, yes, jobs are going to change. I mean, the whole thing about fourth industrial revolution is that there are jobs that are going to fall away. And there will be new jobs that are created as And it's going to be, it's almost like us people and the robots are going to coexist.
We have
to work together as well. So they are not coming here to take our jobs, but literally how we do our jobs is going to change.
Exactly.
And I think it's about don't fear them, embrace them. There's actually a guy from the union, I just forgot his name, he was also saying don't fear them, let's embrace them. We can't run away from the fact that this technology is coming. And I think the one key thing about the fourth industrial revolution is that it's coming super fast. All these technological changes are coming super, super fast, and they are disrupting all these, almost all these industries. Yeah. So it's disruption on another level.
Yeah.
So therefore, we have to prepare ourselves. But the question is, how do we prepare ourselves?
Yeah.
So what, back to what this guy was saying about, but it's not just him, but I think also if you want to read about the fourth industrial revolution, I would encourage you to go to the World Economic Forum. They've got lots of information on that website. So he was saying that, well, information out there says these robots, they do, yes, they can do what we as humans can do, but there's so much more that we can do that they can't do.
Yeah.
For example, they are not creative.
Yes.
They can only do what you as a human have programmed them to do. Right. Yeah. They can't. They don't have empathy.
Yes.
The empathy that we have as human beings. For example, they can't take care of old people. You know what's required for you to take care of sickly people and all of that. They can't do those kind of things. So they're not coming to take off to change to take away our jobs, but they're going to change the way we do jobs. And obviously, yes, take away those routine type of tasks that you are doing.
Exactly.
Those they will.
Calculators will can, you know what I'm saying?
Already. Exactly.
So I think that's a very good point that you make. I was listening to another podcast by our fellow podcasters. Mm. It's a tech podcast.
Yeah.
And they were actually discussing this very thing where, because it is like now insurance is now gone digital, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one point that Bonga made on that podcast was that the reason why we fear is because we fear the unknown. So it's because
we don't know.
But what he's saying is, because he's in IT and he says the reality is the very machines that are coming in still need people behind them to actually program and to actually work them, because they can't just give themselves information. They need people.
Someone needs to be there.
Exactly. And there's a film called about the ladies. What is it called again? Hidden Figures. It's got Taraji.
Yes.
The nice thing, the lesson, and there was like a part in that film where that's when IBM computers were coming in, were only these big IBM computers coming in. And those ladies repurposed themselves. They were called human computers, and they would make calculations.
Yeah.
And they were now stressed that, oh my gosh, like, you know, NASA is now ordering this big computer, it's IBM, it's gonna take all our jobs. But all they did was they were like, okay, cool, guys, ladies, there's this big machine that's coming in and it's going to replace what we do. Mm. And it's going to do it 10 times faster. So what do we do? They then taught themselves to program the actual IBM computer and then said, look, you've got this machine, but you don't have the people to work it. So we have the skills to work this machine. Therefore, you want to need us.
Yes.
To be with. So, yes. Guys, I feel like if that was happening then, it's literally just life.
Exactly.
Being recycled. It's like bell bottoms. There were bell bottoms in the 90s, and people are now wearing bell bottoms again, and they're coming back into fashion. So it's not like, I feel like we're so scared because we're always scared of the unknown.
Yes, and I think the key thing for me is that one other key point that I took away from that conference is that I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about the fact that traditionally your skill would be relevant, would last a whole career, right? Right now, the half-life of a skill is like 5 years.
Mm.
Yeah. So, which means you literally have to be learning. So, lifelong learning, people have to be open to learning new things. And you can't just stick to saying, I did my law degree, so therefore I'm done with life. No, you kind of have to keep learning new things.
Yeah, that's exactly what a friend of mine was saying. Yeah. She unfortunately was part of the process of having to retrench people at a specific bank.
Mm.
And that is exactly what she was complaining about.
Exactly. And just to support what Lelo was saying, so I was actually looking at an article that I was reading a couple of weeks ago. It was saying that basically the article's title is that technology revolution is actually about people and the change thereof of like how working is going to be like. So basically here in a nutshell, they're saying that your skills will have to be changed because you have to gain like new skills because what AI is going to do, it's going to produce a lot of new jobs. Statistically, they say that by 2020, it is the analyst Bram Gardner They say that by 2020, 1.8 million people will be out of work.
2030. I think it's 2030. So 2020 is next year.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
It's that
maybe
future,
it is 2020. Yeah.
I think it comes from the future of jobs report by the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You.
And then but 2.3 million new ones will be recreated.
Yeah.
But then what they were specific about is that the new jobs will be for people with skill sets. Mm-hmm. So it won't be just jobs for people who lost their jobs. Mm. It'll be for people with jobs with skill sets. So like you were saying earlier, then it becomes important for you to upskill yourself and learn new skills.
Strategically.
And and strategically and learn what, you know, like things that the, like you were saying, that the machines cannot do, and cultivate that. And I think to add on to that, I think that's why there's been a resurgence on the creative industry.
Yeah.
Because,
analytics.
Because nobody can, you know, automate that.
Yeah.
So one thing that is concerning for me is the I think when we talk about the challenges of this fourth industrial revolution and the future of jobs, I guess, is like these skills that we say, well, not these skills, but these jobs that we are saying will probably fall away, like your secretarial, administrative type of work. Yes. And the majority of people in those roles are women.
Mm. Yeah.
So what then does
and
it do? We've worked so hard to try and get women into the workplace. Unfortunately, we're getting them in, but we're getting them to do call center. We're getting them to do administrative, secretarial types of work, which are roles that we are going to automate. So now how do we then get, I think the focus also needs to be on reskilling, upskilling and reskilling.
Yeah.
So I think just be open to being reskilled. Don't stick to your, I went to varsity, I went to college for 3 years for to learn this. Honey, is it going to be relevant in this future and so on and so on?
Yeah.
Shucks, guys.
Mm-hmm. There's lots.
There's lots. Actually, yeah. I think we should definitely dedicate a whole episode to this.
Yes, let's do that.
I think we should because it's actually very interesting. Mm. But that was it, guys, today. Let us know what your thoughts are also on the fourth industrial revolution. I see, guys, actually, I took a few screenshots of some of the jokes that went out because there was like a...
But the Sunday Times guys saying that Sangomas have now gotten onto the fourth industrial
revolution.
They're using Skype and WhatsApp. Skype and WhatsApp
old,
have
guys.
Got nothing to do with... Maybe, guys...
Let's love some tweets. So someone was like, someone created a joke and was like... In case you're struggling, so post that article, someone, Kaushik Karan, I think that's how you pronounce his name, says, in case you're struggling with 4IR, here's a few examples. Photocopy machines, microwaves, gate and TV remotes, the Glade air freshener that sprays itself, he says, effing terrifying, bathroom scales, alarm clocks, that little hot or not debonair sticker, flash sticks and lava lamps. So it's just like them taking a jab at Sunday Times.
Yeah.
And then he also says, I just use a vending machine. I love the fourth industrial revolution. And then there was a conference that had where the government had a hologram of the president. And then they were like, here is the fourth industrial revolution. And people were just having our poor government. But the hologram,
I think the concern when we talk about the fourth industrial revolution, the concern for South Africa, I guess, is like, there will be, if we talk about the future of jobs, there will be like a demand for highly skilled people, and then less of a demand for these not so skilled type of roles. And if you look at the country
the
that we live
in,
we've got a majority. The majority of people are working in these type of environments, low skilled, type of environment. So what does it mean then for us? So I think, as much as like the Minister of Communications was at that conference and she spoke about the fourth industrial revolution, and when she spoke about it, and it was at the same time that people were laughing at the fact that she was wearing a jacket with that logo. As much as I don't think they can run around with a logo or a slogan that says 4IR.
Yes.
When she spoke, I got the sense that she knows, she understands
what she's talking about.
And you could hear. She understands that as a government, they also have to, they have a role to play in firstly educating the society about what it is and also preparing the citizens of our country for this change. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And so on. And she spoke about all of that and how they cannot do it alone. Yeah. They need, business, corporate to also partner with them in this journey, you know? Cause I found comfort, listening to her. I was like, okay, no. know, she kind of gets it. Exactly. It's not as like, you know, everybody on social media was like laughing.
Yeah.
And
exactly. I think also because people feel like they're jumping stages. So I think people just be like, okay, cool. You guys are wanting to build smart cities, but you can't even get the damn train working correctly, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So what but are you, so I think that's how people are actually feeling.
Yeah. You know,
but because they definitely, like what you're saying, I completely agree. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done from like grassroots, like now, because the majority of the country is not highly skilled, then who invests in that? How does the investment work? How do they upskill like all those, let's say, factory workers and stuff like that? And also getting back to like school, the curriculum, how does that change to enable the kids to, you know, because then you, things that were applicable when we're at school probably won't be. Like, you know, then things need to change and stuff like that. So there's definitely a lot of work that needs to
But I also think people can't expect the government to not talk about fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, we have to,
At the end of the day, we probably in the third, because it's all about computers and automation. We're still at that point where we're still figuring out how to automate job functions and tasks and so on. So yes, I do get that, but we can't be left behind and say we're not going to talk about it because we're not there yet.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice, Oksalayo. We don't have a choice.
You know, piece of advice from, so I attend these forums at Gibbs, and it was a discussion on exactly this. Mm-hmm. And the panel had journals and political analysts.
Ooh, I hope there was no journal from Sunday Times.
No. I just didn't want to say people's names. But what they were saying, is, so one person in the audience asked, if you could advise your child on what to study when they go to university, what would you suggest?
Yes.
And the consensus was, go into humanities.
That's so true. And with that, what did we just talk about when we talked about the skills that robots do not
have?
They're not human. Those things which are all, you know,
exactly. So that was just my parting thought.
Dilemma,
no, but we don't know that humans like badali, but there's an evolution. It's gonna change because it's always been about you know, the man, the number crunches. Yes. But the number crunches are
going to be crunches.
Not to scare anyone. But anyway, guys, please let us know your thoughts on hashtag The Office Podcast. Tea time, guys.
Yeah,
we'll I think we've said a lot.
In a bit.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll have tea just after this. Okay, welcome, Mr. Tea Time. Why are you laughing?
No, because I didn't think we're rolling.
Yeah,
I wanted to gossip a little bit.
Mr. Tea Time.
Guys, I would have been caught on air and then been given the boots like DJ Fresh. Anyway, no, I'm joking.
Just
he same, he wasn't
just
given the
same Msunari.
So the word was Msunari.
Yes.
Not Msunu.
Msunari.
No,
so he got fired from Msunari.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
You know what I loved? That whole, there was someone who made Msunari with the logo Yaga Metro FM. I love
I saw that.
I was like,
yes.
But I feel like
that's
dramatic. Okay,
that is
but anyway.
Dramatic. So guys, tea time today.
Yes.
There's actually quite a lot of that I want to talk about, but anyway, I've condensed.
We don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time, so I've condensed it to like two things that I really find quite interesting and appalling at the same time.
Yes.
But so I don't know if you know that Meghan Markle, right, made an appearance at Wimbledon, but the match before the final one when Serena was playing, right, and she got into hot water.
Meghan.
Yeah, Meghan, because. Because she was saying, Uguti, she actually asked people, well, her bodyguard asked people not to take pictures of her because she was there in her own capacity.
Oh. You can't go anywhere in your own capacity.
And then
sorry. You have no, you can't choose.
Shame, man. Yeah, when you get into real,
you can't choose. How dare.
So that's what I wanted to talk about. But it's not even that only, like, I get it. Like, even I was just like, I'm sorry, if you're here on your own capacity and you're seated in the royal box, and then now you don't want people to take pictures of
you. Oh, so she's,
exactly.
A, oh, she's in a royal box.
Exactly.
So therefore,
you didn't buy
honey.
See, I'm like,
you can
just stay home.
Yeah,
then.
You can pick and choose.
She
when
could
you
have watched on
be,
TV.
Right?
She could have just watched on TV.
But
really.
You know, like what angered me is that then Piers Morgan, who I hate Piers Morgan with a passion. Like I really dislike
I think
him.
Now
I
you know.
Dislike him. So he went in and like just went in on her and just said like, you know what? First of all, well, raised all this concern that, you know, you don't pick and choose, which I completely get. Mm. But I feel like sometimes peers just undermines women, undermines black women. Like, he just says things that are just rude and
all the time.
I don't even want to talk about him.
Like, right? Mm. And then he just, like, kept on, like, going. And then now he was saying, well, like, you don't want it to, you don't want us to see your pictures. Meanwhile, we've just paid, well, the taxpayers just paid for a renovation of their house and stuff like that. Which I just feel like, guys, well...
Yeah, no, Megan, well, you know, can pick and choose when do you want us to take pictures of you or not. Sorry.
I guess, like, you've just asked my questions, because I was just like, you know, is it fair that her territory was being invaded?
But no,
I guess
it is,
you know,
fair. Yes,
it is fair. You sign, that's what you sign up for. And if you want to be a celebrity, unfortunately, you're going to have to take it as it comes. Stay home and watch it on TV like my friends.
But let's think about how, you know, like how Princess Diana died. And just like,
honey,
the whole
she went into a public place where there's a game and there are photographers and cameras. So
what did Princess Di do? What are you referring to, sis? Actually?
No, but like, you know, the speculations that, like,
they were not. Was the media following her around, or did she go to an event where they
That is true.
About how she died.
Yeah.
But she was in a car. She wasn't driving in a car.
No, but Princess, like, Diana, the media was chasing them. Lawyer na oya go media. Don't take pictures of me.
And then she went to the actual game that she knows the world is watched by the rest of the world.
Yeah, and people will be interested because she's best friend with Serena. Anyway, moving swiftly along to the best friend of the Duchess, Serena Williams. Actually, I cannot call her the best friend of the Duchess. The world champion of tennis, Serena Williams.
Didn't she just lose?
She just lost at Wimbledon. So this is what Wimbledon
had a lot of
talk about, right? Yeah, I know, it's a lot of shit. So she lost at Wimbledon, and then she was doing a press conference after. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard this, but a lot of people were talking about it. And one reporter asked her if she thinks, you know, if maybe she should consider taking a year off from being a celebrity and fighting for equality.
Who the hell is that journalist to even tell?
Exactly.
It's Serena, she's supposed to be one-dimensional.
Exactly. You know, like, it's like, then she's basically asking, like, you know, and focus on tennis. And so then my question was like, okay, and I loved how she answered it. Mm. She basically said, the day that I'll stop fighting for equality and for people like you and I, we didn't see the reporter, but clearly
probably
she's
black.
A black or brown person or a woman. She's a woman, I know that. So it's like, it's the day that I'm in my grave. Mm. And then that just shut it down very quickly. Yeah.
But how can someone, of, you know, of
the
kind
audacity
of
ask
that? She's been captured, that one, has he?
Yeah, no, it's like, it's crazy. But do you think that, like, there's a space of being, there's a space to be a celebrity and excelling artist or, like, what do you call it? Athlete. And I'm saying this, like, I know it sounds like very wishy-washy, but I'm saying this to say that, like, other people have been too much of celebrities than they were of what they initially started as, and it's sort of been merged the water,
I think,
you know,
what you mean.
And sometimes it has sort of affected their perception, and I don't believe that it affects your
Serena
game.
Serena is definitely one of
exactly.
She's definitely not one of those people. We know her as a tennis player and a good one at that. So,
and we focus on a lot of that.
I think we also, the thing about it is, now because this celebrity is now focusing on is fighting for equal rights and all of these other things. Now we're saying focus on your game. When they only focus on their game and they don't get involved in social issues, we also complain.
Yes,
so what the hell do
it's
we
like
want?
When it's like when AKA say something on politics and they're like, I just show away now. No, guys. But it's true. I can't now talk about politics just because I'm not a politician.
Because you live in the same society as
exactly.
us. Why can't you have an opinion?
And just because my opinion is different to yours doesn't mean that it's a stupid opinion.
Exactly.
Yes. Sometimes, yes, a lot of people make a lot of uninformed
people need to stand for something, and I think that what builds, like, an icon or whatever, you need to be very dimensional. You can't be just a
person. That's just your job.
Yeah.
That's just your job, right?
But that's exactly.
Yeah, so
that's not who you are.
Now that's all you must do. You can't have anything else besides that. No,
no, I think that's very racist and sexist.
And I actually felt like it was very sexist. I felt like if
How
it was a man,
if
they were not gonna. I feel like if it was a man, they were not gonna.
Yeah, I would think something very racial and sexist.
hood when he started losing a lot. They were asking him
focus
those questions.
On, yeah, there's yeah, no. Oh,
you know?
I'm there's something so tired there that. I got told to focus on the job and stop with the cheating.
No, but I, yeah, oh, no.
But then you know? And yeah. I feel like that was a whole attack. And I feel like Serena is just an athlete, has enjoyed like a lot with like fighting, you know, and stuff. And even in her new, I think it's a Harper's Bazaar, where she's unretouched, she speaks about, which is a stunning cover, by the way, dripping gold. Darling.
Later.
Anyway.
Oh, no, it was not a letter, it was a text to Naomi.
Yes. A text, yeah.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
And then, yeah, which was like, which is quite nice, because she also mentioned about the fact that they actually, her and her sister, actually got accepted in tennis because they couldn't stop winning.
Wow.
But it wasn't because of, like, they were the optics that they wanted, that tennis wanted
to transform.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So
but in the corporate world, it can get tricky because in the corporate world, they'll call you a Julius Malema.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tricky because you out here trying to do your job.
Today, I'm just like, where are we going?
No. So like, are you a? And I mentioned this because actually it was someone that we're talking about, Sihle Bolani. She's got a book out and a website and started a whole conversation around being a black, working while black.
Yes.
And it's exactly that are you able to be that person that, you know, fights for the rights of black people or women or, you know, and or standing up for what you believe in and can you still keep that job? Like it's tricky.
Yeah.
So I think you can get away with it in entertainment and sports, whatever, but it would actually be nice to have her in the podcast studio and actually chat about that because I just feel like there it's like, hey,
but can someone
like,
read her book before we do that? Because I feel like it would be,
I wouldn't mind reading it because
read it.
It's like,
I think I'll also read it.
Can't like it, my heart's actually like beats fast when I talk about that.
Because
I've seen so many
traveling guys.
Oh no, like school, a lot of school.
Okay.
But like I know someone this week, for example, that literally lost their job because of standing up for themselves and being a Julius Malema.
Well, so I think we should
get her book.
But
and then
just to wrap up office politics.
No, it's not office politics. It's tea time.
Or politics in tea time.
Yeah, the one confusing you.
I'm sorry.
Stop confusing like topic for office politics. Just to wrap up on Tita.
Yes.
I haven't forgot my tea, guys. Just to wrap up, Miss SA has released the finalists and they've got the first. I do not believe in pageantry, but you know what?
Yeah, same here.
It's like it's going on, and I think they're doing interesting stuff because I think it's still big in the country. So, considering how many girls like actually try out to enter,
who's
Miss SA?
Who's that?
I think it's Tamarin Green.
Carry on.
The level of interest, guys. I think more people know who hosts Miss SA than they know who the Miss SA is. But anyway, so they've introduced the first openly queer contestants.
The first who?
Openly queer contestants.
So that's weird. That's actually
Miss
SA.
So who announced? Did they announce?
They've announced the 12 finalists.
So the thing is, why is this such a big thing?
So the person
the
one of the finalists
told them Uti she's lesbian.
Yeah, openly queer.
And then used that.
I don't think she's necessarily lesbian. I think she is queer.
What does that mean?
What's the difference?
So basically, okay, let me actually find out for you what queer is because I also don't want to give you the wrong definition.
What does it mean?
Hey, guys, but my concern is, why is it such a big thing? So what does it say about the pageant itself that it would be such a big thing now in 2019 to be queer? So that's my concern. I don't know. I feel like
queer means denoting or relating to sexual to a sexual or gender identity that does not correspond to established ideas of sexuality and gender.
English?
So basically, it's like you... Okay, so basically, is that you don't.
She does not identify as a woman.
She does not identify as a woman, but she doesn't identify as what you preconceive her to be. So she might be a woman, but then she might be a woman who's lesbian, or she might be a woman who's asexual.
How?
Or she might be a woman who's like,
we need a day.
We need a day.
Exactly.
And I don't want to get dragged. For talking crap. So.
Exactly.
Like Zoto
but anyways,
dragged hard.
And then there's also
but Zoto
been...
deserved it.
Oh, I cannot even with her. Okay, we have to wrap up because I'm really angry about Zod. But anyway, another topic for another day. And also, another First Miss essay was that they've got two girls that have been considered plus size, which I really find funny because generally they're normal sizes, then they're like plus size. And I'm like, you know, the modeling industry is just like
ridiculous.
But anyways, at least they are broadening the spectrum.
So the woman, okay, well, we appreciate that doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. Enjoy.
Those who watch, I guess.
Yeah, enjoy.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. So that's it for tea, right?
Yeah, that's it for tea.
Okay, so we have a bit of an announcement.
Yeah, yes. A sad one.
It's not sad.
It's not sad.
It's exciting stuff. So we want to take a break. Mm-hmm. For when are we coming back? We're coming back in August? August is next month. We're coming back in September.
Yes.
So we're going to take a bit of a break.
Yeah.
September, right?
Mm-hmm. September, yes.
We just want to just regroup, just reorganize and refresh the podcast.
Yes.
We want to just have to bring you guys bigger, better conversations really just make it. We feel like the types of topics that we discuss here are very, very important.
And you guys have also mentioned that they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and people really rely on the information that we share. So we just want to just make sure, how do we tighten it? How do we really make sure that it makes a bigger difference and it's more impactful and more helpful to everyone who listens?
Exactly.
I think we've kind of just been going randomly, but we realize it's a bigger topic that needs a bigger focus. So we need to just sit, re-strategize, and then have a proper plan. This is how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure that every episode is not just wishy-washy, but it's proper, and we get real people who are like experts and knowledgeable in the different topics that we talk about, just to reinforce some of the discussions. So anything else that I left out?
No, I think that's it.
Season one has been fun.
Yeah, I think, and more than anything for us, it's also learning. Because I mean, we came into podcasting and then we just ran with it. But I think, you know, if you've listened to the podcast from episode one, you'll notice that there's a difference. And on some episodes, we've actually developed stuff literally. So we've literally built this podcast with you.
Exactly.
But now that we've got the key learnings and we've seen what works, what doesn't work, we actually just want to regroup, refresh. Oh, guys, it's gonna be so nice.
But I mean, while we're gone, we're not going to just be silent. We're going to repackage some of the stuff that we've talked about and just keep, you know, share highlights and key moments and so on. So definitely, we will be back, hopefully the first week of September.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We will just keep following us.
Ready for spring. You better be ready.
Freshness.
At Miss Lillaby.
@Kiahi_M.
At Audacious Tony. If you don't know how to spell it, follow the Office hashtag.
Yes. So we'll share all the details and all the dates. So we'll do like a bit of a countdown before we come back again. So, but thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate all the feedback that you've been giving us, and we really notice. Mulete mulebati. We see you. We hear you all day.
Shout out.
I think we got a shout out today as well.
Yes, get a shout out. Oh yes, the lady who was doing. I actually forgot to respond.
Lebohang M.
Yes.
Khoshikhad. L_L.
Yes.
So she was doing a count, like she was doing a list. She was tweeting about a list of podcasts. That she thinks are really, really cool. Umpile, are you talking about Umpile?
No.
Is it Umpile? No.
No, it was Lebohang.
Lebohang. Oh. Yeah. With the black and white.
Oh, yeah, that's her. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at somebody else. Yeah.
But I think so this is our, like any office guys take leave. But when you are taking leave, listen to Lelo's, travel podcast.
Yes.
So that's your leave, okay? Mm-hmm. We're giving you guys, we are approving your leave.
We are also taking leave.
Yeah.
Actually, that's exactly what
so
it
people
is.
Are, I've also got some traveling between now and September and October. Yeah. So we are approving your leave.
Because Kia's traveling. I'm also going to be traveling in August. So we thought, you know what, we don't want to come back in August and then take another break. So let's rather come back
in September.
I just want to say shout out to Mr. Mwilwa. We got your message on Apple Podcast. He said thank you so much for the info, but can we please have more? So and then we also have Sharks at 07. Thank you so much for a much needed podcast. Navigating the corporate space is a lot. You guys give a wholesome view about different yet so similar experiences.
Aww.
Keep at it. I definitely love it. And then Mulita Mulebazi, like I said, I can relate so much to these topics as a young working person. I like. So thank you so
and
much.
And shout out to everyone repackaging our podcast.
Thank you.
Making it their own. Woo!
Oh.
What? Yeah. Are they repackaging? Are they stealing our content?
I will discuss offline.
Okay, like, don't sound like we do.
But yeah, no, we acknowledge all the love. Yes. And we shall be back. See you guys again in September.
Yes.
We love you. Goodbye.
Season 2 coming.
Yes.